The following program is a production of Beach Booster Radio. Beach Corner with Diana Chicky is sponsored by Exchanging Vows Bridal Boutique in Collingwood, Ontario. Visit exchangingvowsbridalboutique.com for all your wedding and formal wear needs.
Hi, this is Alan Furr from Glass Tiger, and you're listening to Beach Booster Radio.
I'm Diana Chicky with Beach Corner on BeachBoosterRadio.com, your backstage pass for all your entertainment. Who can remember Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone and Someday by Glass Tiger? These are just some of the hits enjoyed in the 80s. Joining me on Beach Corner via phone is frontman Alan Furr from Glass Tiger. Alan is a multi-platinum selling songwriter, public speaker, and author of the best-selling book, The Action Sandwich, A Six-Step Recipe to Success by Doing What You're Already Doing. Alan's work with Glass Tiger has garnered him 5 Juno Awards, a Grammy nomination, and 5 Canadian Classic Awards in recognition of songs that have been played in excess of 100,000 times on Canadian radio. He has toured alongside of Tina Turner, Fleetwood Mac, Rod Stewart, to name a few. In 2008, Alan teamed up with Stephen Macchio and wrote the theme song, I Believe, for CTV's Canada's Olympic broadcast media for the Vancouver 2010 Olympic Winter Games. Recovering from a stroke in 2015, Alan is moving forward with a musical comeback. Alan will share his musical career and his latest album, 80290 Rewind. You're listening to Beach Corner, brought to you by Exchanging Vows Bridal Boutique in Collingwood on Beach Booster Radio, Wasaga Beach's only truly local radio.
You are listening to Beach Booster Radio, Wasaga Beach's truly local radio, broadcasting directly from the world's longest freshwater beach.
Welcome back to Beach Corner on BeachBoosterRadio.com. Alan Furr is a multi-platinum selling songwriter, public speaker, and author of the best-selling book, The Action Sandwich, A Six-Step Recipe to Success by Doing What You're Already Doing. Alan's work with Glass Tiger has garnered him 5 Juno Awards, a Grammy nomination, and 5 Canadian Classic Awards in recognition of songs that have been played in excess of 100,000 times on Canadian radio. Joining me via phone is Alan Furr from Glass Tiger. Welcome to Beach Corner. So nice to have you on the show, Alan.
Thank you, Diane. It's my pleasure.
You are moving forward with a musical comeback and also an active public speaker on the dangers of high cholesterol and hypertension after suffering from a stroke back in August 2015. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I don't know that you suffer from this and you're ever 100% again, but I'm as close to 100% as you'll get. I've still got some affected area in my right arm, and nothing that you would detect, but internally I can feel it. But looking around me and the things I witness in life, I can't complain. I just, I went through a phase of, you feel a little bit sorry for yourself. You have a bit of a cry, and then you get to work, in rehab, and I worked really hard to get myself back in shape again, and here I am. I'm out there performing again.
That's wonderful. So you're also known as a hardworking person. Have you changed your habit on how you approach work?
Yes and no. I mean, I try to mentally not let myself take on the stress that I used to say I revel in stress. I used to say that, you make stress your friend, but I think there's definitely times where you have to back off. And I think recording my album the way I did when I had my stroke, that might have played into it. But I was a kind of bad boy and had not been taking my medication the way I should have. So that probably equally played a role in that. But not really. I revel in work. I enjoy my work, and so I don't want to back off on that. But maybe just psychologically, the way I'll go about it, it'll be less, you know, less hard on myself.
So with your speaking engagements, do you find this has helped with your recovery?
Well, no, for the record, I haven't been out public. When I was doing my public speaking, it was primarily about my book and the idea of the road to success being, you know, my belief system of believing in yourself and having, you know, abundance for everyone, taking on the challenge, believing in the power of intention, you know, having the desire and taking action. And that was really what turned me into a public speaker. I would go out and talk about those principles. Since my stroke, I haven't really been out pounding the pavement as a public speaker, but I have been actively helping the Heart and Stroke Foundation. I've done some ads for them, and we are actively talking about me possibly going out there and doing some public speaking. But more importantly, thousands and thousands of people have written to me personally, and it usually starts out with them saying how sorry they are that this happened to me and how happy they are that I'm still in the game, and then they give me their story. Mm-hmm. And so I try to take the time and care to answer each and every one of them and try and give them a positive feedback on how to approach their. So I guess, you know, technically I'm public speaking on it, but it's really being done online right now.
So apart from writing songs, you're mentioning your book. You're also an author, having written The Action Sandwich, 6-Step Recipe to Success by Doing What You're Already Doing. That was published in 2007. So it's a motivational book. You were talking about it. What prompts you into writing this book?
Well, I've always been a student of life. You know, I've always wanted to know why. Why is it like that? Why do people behave the way they do? Why do I behave the way I do? And so as a young man, I was very attracted to the classic books that we all sort of grew up with in those days, like, you know, Robin Sharma and Tony Robbins and Jack Canfield. And I enjoyed that process of, you know, reading and studying it deeper. And what I really liked about it was you can take what you want from it and then you can discard the rest. But then having lived a life that I've lived, at some point, you know, the penny drops and I look at my bookshelf and I see all these books by these authors, and it just dawned on me that why wouldn't I be pushed in the direction of wanting to do that myself? Why wouldn't I want to share my story mm-hmm. and do it in such a way that could maybe help someone else and help get them? You can't really motivate anybody who doesn't want to be motivated, but you can certainly tap into someone's psyche that's maybe just lost the plot a little bit, lost direction, maybe turned their back on something that they were, you know, maybe a woman who wanted to start her own business, but she got sidetracked in life by getting married and having some kids, and then she thinks she can't do that anymore. Well, if you can tap into that and remind her that it's never too late, the game of life is never over, then that's a positive thing. So I decided to write this book. But then, being the storyteller that I am, I blend it with the whole sort of, you know, the sex and drugs and rock and roll of being a musician who went to the big dance and played in the big games. And so I think I did really well, and in blending the two together, many people were saying, you can't do that. Well, I was saying, well, why not? And so you get these great stories that go along with it.
In 2008, you teamed with songwriter Stephan Moccio to write I Believe, the theme song of the CTV's Canada's Olympic broadcast media for the Vancouver 2010 Olympic Winter Games. How was that experience?
Well, it was, as a matter of fact, if I can get my act together and get another book out, in the way the Action Sandwich has the thread, and we called it the opus, which is a sort of it's really the tale of Glass Tiger, or becoming a musician and then becoming Glass Tiger. In this new book, I would make the opus the tale of I Believe, because the tale of I Believe privately becomes everything I talk about in the Action Sandwich. You know, having desire and belief and intention and the willpower and taking action, fighting the fight, you know, fighting the good fights, standing up for your principles, all these things I was tested on with I Believe. Started out as a beautiful journey. There would be too much for me to tell you in this one interview, but it started out as a beautiful journey between Mocchio and I, where he had this this theme that I finally managed to get him to play for me, and I had him strip it away and give me the bare essence of it, and then I wrote I Believe. And so the song that everybody knows and loves and was attached to with Olympics, that comes out of that. But unfortunately, the tale of what happened after that, the bureaucracy of who should sing it, and I always wanted Nicky Yanofsky from day one. For a brief shining moment, Celine Dion was going to do it, so I was willing. Who wouldn't want Celine? So I was willing to back off. And then Celine got pregnant at the time, and by the way, you're getting a scoop here. And so I backed off, and then when Celine failed, the story of what happened after that, I'll save for my book.
Okay.
But the end result was a beautiful song that was embraced by a nation, and so much so that it became synonymous with the Olympic Games. And I don't know if people realize it, but the actual song of the Olympic Games was meant to be a song by my friends Jim Vallance and Brian Adams. And that was the one that was played the night of the opening ceremonies. But I Believe became so powerful that it inadvertently became synonymous with the Olympic Games, where people actually think it was performed at the opening ceremony, and it was not. It was the broadcaster's song.
I know,
Canadians embraced it as their own.
It is such a beautiful song. It's such a beautiful song. You also toured with Rod Stewart, Tina Turner, Fleetwood Mac, to name a few. How did you enjoy sharing the stage with some of these artists?
Well, I mean, you know, you grow up as, you know, your fans as well. I mean, I was a fan of Tina Turner when I was a young boy. I was a fan of Rod Stewart when I was a young boy. And so Rod was actually, you know, was a different tale, because Rod and I actually became friends. And to become friends with Rod Stewart, you know, was a head trip. But eventually you overcome that and you embrace it. Rod and I were pals for over a year before the whole My Turn thing and sharing stages with him happened, because I would never play that card. I would never go to him and say, you know, would you sing on this song? That happened by osmosis, and, you know, I can tell you the tale if you want to know exactly how that came about. Rod and I actually were friends, and then after he did the song with me, I did say to him as a pal, okay, you know, becoming your friend was a big deal, and you telling me you wanted to sing on My Turn was a big deal, so why don't we, you know, close the triumvirate, and if you ever come to Canada, you know, let us do the show with you. And that, he called me one time and he said, we've landed a Toronto date, do you want to come and do it? And I said, sure.
Wow. Oh my gosh, how exciting. So you released a new album in 2015, 80290 Rewind, on Black Box Recordings. This is a compilation of hits released in the 80s and the 90s. So tell us about some of these songs.
Well, you know, radio now is such a closed-off entity for anybody, you know, over the age of 17, although I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's closed off. So you're not going to turn contemporary radio on anymore and hear Alan Freer or Glass Tiger or Brian Adams or Tom Corcoran. It ain't happening. And you have to come to terms with that. So my manager, my new manager at the time, Jason from Black Box, we were just talking about, you know, what do you do when you're in your 50s and you have this voice that people know and recognize and hopefully love, and they're wondering where you are, what do you do? So we mulled a few ideas back and forth, and he came up with the idea, why don't you do these classic songs from the 80s? I told him that there was a record company one time wanting me to do classic songs from the 60s. And he said, well, why don't you do your contemporaries? Why don't you do the 80s? And I thought, that's a cool idea. Mm-hmm. I was on the radio at the same time as these people. We were fighting for the same airwaves, and I was a fan of many of them. And so we sat back and we brought up over 100 of them. And of course, some of them are wacky and trashy, and you weed that out. And then some of them just don't make sense, like Alan Frew singing Like a Virgin by Madonna. I don't think so. And so you weed all that out, and then you start to realize just how great some of these songs are. But there's a thin line between performing them and making them believable and them being karaoke. So ironically, when we chose them, I thought the easy part was going to be the singing part. I thought that's a no-brainer. The difficult part is going to be what kind of foundation we're going to put on them that still lets the people who love them, love the originals, that they'll still say, ah, this is the John Waite song, but it's not some wacky version that's going to make people go, well, who does he think he is? So we went to Nashville and we broke them down into this beautiful, organic, rootsy kind of a presentation. But then when it came time to sing them, it was unbelievably difficult because you have to own them. You have to sing it so much so that people can go on a journey with you like it's your song. They have to believe that it was actually me that wrote that song, even though it wasn't. Wow. And you have to present it so that you don't make a mess of Peter Gabriel's memory of how they feel about Peter Gabriel's performance. So it became a labor of love. It took me 3 weeks to sing, to get a handle on Peter Gabriel. Wow. But actually, the way I did it was I sort of gave up. I'd done 4 tracks and everybody kept saying, no, no, no. My producer, my manager, my engineer, try this, try that. And so what I did was I trashed everything and I went back to the drawing board and I sang Someday, a different version of Someday, but I sang it. And I knew that nobody could question me on that. Nobody could say you're singing it wrong. And so once I mastered the new version of Someday, then the penny dropped and everything else fell into place, and I managed to capture, I think, the essence of these wonderful, wonderful songs.
Wow, that's amazing. So on that note, can you please introduce a song from the album?
Certainly. This is the Alan Frew version of the Glass Tiger classic. This is Someday.
Joining me today via phone is Alan Frew from Glass Tiger. You're listening to Beach Corner on BeachBoosterRadio.com.
When I come home, telephone and say you're waiting for me. I ask you why, I hear you cry, but you're still waiting for me. Someday you'll be shedding your tears to cry over me. Someday I'll be losing this fear. Now I'm alone, you telephone and tell me you don't need me. I ask you why, you tell me lies and say the truth would hurt me. Ooh. Someday That's where I'm waiting for you. In the streets where lovers meet, I'm still waiting for you. Someday you'll be shedding your tears to cry over me. Someday I'll be losing this fear. Someday you'll be shedding your tears. Will you cry over me? Someday I'll be losing this fear. Darling,
welcome back to Beach Corner on BeachBoosterRadio.com with my guest via phone, Alan Frew. So who are some of the musicians that are participating on the album?
Well, I went to Nashville and we got some of the top players down there. The three major ones that come to mind is my guitar player was Kyle Cook from the band Matchbox 20. He's also the guitar player for John Waite. My bass player was Dave Santos, and Dave has worked with everybody from Billy Joel to Fleetwood Mac, a whole array of top artists. And the same for my keyboard player. His name is John Coleman. He's just worked with some of Nashville's finest players.
Well, you certainly have an array of artists there in that album. So what is it that you like about the music in the 80s?
About the 80s?
Yes.
Well, to be honest with you, one of the great things about doing this album with these players was that I got to explore the fact that the 80s have amazing songs, but in many, many cases, including some in my own Glass Tiger work, it's squashed by the production of the times. So what I loved about it was when you break the songs down into the essence of just the melody and the lyrics, and they're brilliant. So, you know, I'll give you an example. A song that I finally didn't put on the album, but I may do it in future, was I Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore by REO Speedwagon. When I, as a listener, listen to that song, I have to turn it off because the production kills my ear. It's just squashed by the production. But when you break it down and you play it on an acoustic guitar and you sing it, it's brilliant. I don't know why, to this day, I don't know why a country artist hasn't covered it and made it a massive hit, because it's a great song, great lyric, great melody. So I love the 80s, the approach to melody and lyric, and the fact that the 80s, all of the songs tended to tell a story, and the stories always tend to go into the light. They're not dark. They're not filled with darkness. And I think that's what attracts attracted people to it in the day, coming out of the 70s and disco and darker rock. And I think it's what attracts young people today when they discover the 80s. I mean, some of them find it goofy and fun, a little, you know, little tongue-in-cheek. But others go a little deeper and they discover the magic in those songs, in the power of the melody and the message and the lyric.
Mm-hmm. So having said that, what are your thoughts on today's music?
Well, I may not be the right guy to answer that question because I've always been very insular when it comes. I mean, all through the 80s and 90s, I was listening to talk radio. I wasn't even listening to music. People used to laugh at me because they'd say, have you heard that massive hit by blah, blah, blah? And I was like, no, because I just stay insular. And I tend to still do that today. So people talk about massive things that I really don't know about. I can give you my opinion, much more valid opinion on the music industry, but less about who's young and new in the industry.
Okay. So you're scheduled to perform in Timmins, Ontario on June the 29th. So what can fans anticipate?
You're going to have to refresh my memory. Am I coming as Alan Frew or Glass? I think it's a Frew gig, right?
I think it's an Alan Frew gig, absolutely.
Yeah, it's not Glass Tiger. So what can they expect? Well, they can expect that by that time, I'll probably have recorded volume two of the 80s to 90s CDs that I'm doing. And it's just an amazing journey. Come with an open mind. I don't care, you come dressed in your best 80s gear, but come expecting an 80s party. Come expecting to hear my voice present these songs in such a way that from the time you walk in to the gig to the time you walk out, it's just an amazing journey of, you know, it's a lifestyle. It's a two-hour lifestyle of songs that you just, you know, that are beloved and that people know and love. And my band is fantastic, and as long as my voice is at the top of its game, which I think it is, you're in for a real treat.
That sounds wonderful. So you're a big soccer fan. Tell us about your recent New England Patriots.
I'm a big soccer fan to start with, so which we call football, which can might confuse people, but football to me is a UK thing, but I'm so used to calling it soccer now. But when I came over as a young lad, you know, the quality of soccer over here was at such a low standard that I got attracted to, you know, watching hockey. I became a Maple Leaf fan, but I really fell in love with the NFL. And for a brief shining moment, I was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But my brother and brother-in-law kind of jumped on that bandwagon. And so being the rebel that I am, I abandoned ship and I needed to find a new team. And I chose the New England Patriots. And I just followed them through thick and thin. You know, when we were not a good team and when we got to the playoffs and then got kicked out, and then we made it to the Super Bowl and got slaughtered. And then all of a sudden, Tom Brady came along and the dynasty began, and we've had a great run for the last 15 years. And part of my new ink was to put a small Patriot tattoo on my left hand.
So how do you feel about the New England Patriots winning the game?
I thought it was incredible. You'd never underestimate this team, and especially that quarterback. And I know people love to hate us now for all the wrong reasons, but who cares? We are the Super Bowl champions again. And listen, I'm telling you right now, I don't think he's finished. I think he'll come back next year. And I think we'll be knocking on the door and people will be, you know, pleasantly surprised, I guess, some of them. But I won't be that. We'll be in the dance anyway.
So looking back at your musical career, is there something you would like to change?
I would probably change... when I was a lead singer of, you know, one of the most popular bands in North America, and we were traveling the world, and the pace that everything was going at, we didn't take enough time, and I certainly, being the front man, I was constantly being pulled in a thousand directions, and I missed it. I never took the time to pat myself on the back and say, this is great, and take this in. And so then all of a sudden, when the bubble first didn't burst, but it certainly deflates and other new acts come up and you're not the flavor of the week anymore, you look back on it. So I would encourage any young artist who's getting a taste of the big time or, you know, success, to really try and allow yourself a moment or two to revel in the fact that you've done this and you've worked so hard to get there, and to give yourself that pat on the back and to say, you know, I'm really good at this and I'm doing great things, because you can deny yourself that. That's something I would probably change if I could go back.
So I have a different type of question here. If you were a tree, which tree would best describe you?
Well, before I answer that, I'm going to tell my friend who's driving what you asked me, because he's going to think I've lost my mind, because I've got headphones on and he can't hear me. I've just been asked, if I was a tree, what tree would I choose to be and why? I would probably be an oak tree.
Oh, okay.
Because I take on all comers. I stand true to my convictions. I have an old soul, but I still have youthful energy and the dynamic of how I feel an oak tree would stand its ground.
Well said.
And it relies on its own belief system and power. But it's certainly not beyond, you know, taking part and being a part of the collective of the forest and nature, and want to share space and time with everyone else. But it would take one hell of a axeman to chop me down.
So where can we find more information on Alan Frew?
I'll take a look at my website, but I'm very active on social media now. It's just the way it is. So I use Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and I do it myself, and I interact with people one-on-one. So if anybody wants to ask me a question, my Facebook page is a fan page, but you can connect with me privately on it. I can't come to your page. I can't have you as a friend anymore, because I went over, Facebook's really weird. Once you hit 5,000, you're done. You can't befriend any more people. And I hit 5,000 really quickly, so we moved it to a fan page. But it does allow you to ask me questions. It allows you to post, and I can answer on that post publicly. So I would say, you know, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter would tell you everything you would ever need to know about me.
Okay. Well, thank you, Alan, for being my guest, and wishing you continued success with your solo album and upcoming concerts. However, before you go, can you please introduce one of your songs?
Yes, I can. This is a song that I've loved for years, and a band that I'm a fan of. This is Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds.
You're listening to Beach Corner on BeachBoosterRadio.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this song.
not me. I'll be alone, dancing, you know it, baby. Going to take you apart. I'll put us back together at heart, baby. Don't you forget about me. Don't you forget about me.
A wrap for me. I would like to thank Alan Prue for being my guest and wish him continued success with his solo album 80290 Rewind and upcoming concerts. Alan is scheduled to perform in Timmins, Ontario on June the 29th. For more information, visit alanfrue.com, his Facebook and Twitter pages, as well as Instagram. With Beach Corner on Beach Booster Radio, I'm Dinah Chicky. Beach Corner's broadcast every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. and also available on podcast anytime from our new Beach Booster Radio podcast page. Simply click the podcast button from our homepage to enjoy unique and local programming. Beach Corner's a regular feature in Beach Booster Publication. If you would like to be featured on Beach Corner, please contact Diana at beachbooster.com. I welcome your visit to my Facebook and Twitter pages. Bye-bye, everyone.
The preceding program is a production of Beach Booster Radio, written, recorded, and produced in Wasaga Beach, Ontario. We thank you for listening to Beach Booster Radio, Wasaga Beach's only locally owned and operated radio station. We are local. We are Wasaga Beach. We are Beach Booster.
Hi, this is Brian Smith, Mayor of the Town of Wasaga Beach, and you're listening to Beach Booster Radio.